What separates a forgotten project from a work that outlasts its creator? The difference isn't luck, timing, or even talent. It's a fundamental misunderstanding of what creation really demands. Most people believe the hard part is making something. They're wrong. Making is just the beginning. The real challenge lies in understanding that creating something great and getting it into the right hands are equally essential, equally difficult, and completely inseparable. Consider Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power. It took a full decade before it hit bestseller lists, not because it suddenly became good, but because someone understood how to position timeless work in a distracted world. Here's what nobody wants to hear. Your idea means nothing. Everyone has ideas. The difference between a masterpiece and a daydream is the unglamorous, exhausting work of transformation. Many people don't actually want to write a book. They want to have written one. There's a universe of difference. Filmmaker Casey Neistat puts it bluntly, "I don't want to hear your idea. The idea is the easy part." Real creation demands sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? Time with family? Financial security? Comfort? The answer to this question predicts your likelihood of success more than talent ever will. Matthew Weiner carried Mad Men in his mind for 7 years before filming began, then endured 7 more brutal years of writing and directing. The first principle of lasting work: no amount of brilliant marketing can save a mediocre product. Decisions made during creation trump any promotional strategy. Reject the modern fallacy of spending 20% creating and 80% promoting. That formula produces forgettable work. Make creating something exceptional your obsessive focus. As Robert Greene says, it starts by wanting to create a classic. James Cameron wrote Avatar in 1994, but couldn't film it. The technology didn't exist. Rather than compromise, he spent years inventing what he needed, releasing it 15 years later in 2009. Despite what we'd like to believe, inspiration doesn't flow unheeded. Hemingway rewrote sections 50 times. Kerouac's supposedly spontaneous On the Road took 6 years of refining. Excellence demands obsessive commitment to the work itself. The most dangerous trap for creators is chasing trends. Peter Thiel cuts through hype with one question: will this business still be around a decade from now? Most can't answer yes. Star Wars succeeded because George Lucas rooted his story in Joseph Campbell's timeless hero's journey, the same structure found in Gilgamesh and Homer's epics. Producer Rick Rubin gives musicians similar advice: don't mimic today's radio hits. Listen to the greatest music ever made and find your own voice within that tradition. Ryan Holiday's library contains Worms Eat My Garbage by Mary Appelhoff, an obscure indie-published guide that sold 165,000 copies and remained in print for 35 years. This domain dominance requires choosing a specific audience. Too many creators want to be for everyone and end up being for no one. Lin-Manuel Miranda succeeded because he picked a lane and started running ahead of everybody else. Picking a lane isn't limiting, it's liberating. It lets you become the undisputed expert in something specific rather than another voice in a crowded conversation. Beyond asking who your work is for, ask what it does. An editor told Holiday, "It's not what a book is, it's what a book does." Great work begins with solving a real challenge. Craig Newmark created Craigslist because people needed practical help, jobs, housing, community connections. The more fundamental the problem you solve, the better chance your work has of becoming perennial. Your creation must serve people, providing entertainment, answering questions, or addressing deep needs, integrated from the beginning, not bolted on later. The most lasting work isn't marginally better, it's boldly different. Pete Carroll learned from the Grateful Dead that they weren't trying to be the best, they were trying to be the only ones doing what they were doing. As Srinivas Rao put it, only is better than best. Too many creators say, it's like, but with. This derivative thinking produces forgettable work. Instead, ask, what sacred cows am I slaying? What dominant institution am I displacing? Bruce Springsteen wanted Born to Run to grab you by the throat and insist that you take that ride. Producer Rick Rubin refused label pressure to soften Slayer's Rain and Blood. The best art divides the audience. This polarizing approach turned an underground metal album into a 2 million copy seller. Truly groundbreaking work. Matisse's Blue Nude, Orson Welles's War of the Worlds, Airbnb shocked audiences before becoming mainstream. Here's the romantic fantasy. Create brilliance, hand it to professionals, return to your studio. Here's reality. John Fante's potentially great Gatsby-level novel Ask the Dust disappeared because his publisher got entangled in legal battles. After creating your project, you've reached halfway to the halfway point. Now comes polishing, refining, and positioning, examining your deeply personal work through strangers' eyes. Nobody will champion your work like you will. You must become the CEO of your creative project. While taking full responsibility, submit your work to trusted outside voices. Even Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird was initially more a series of anecdotes than a fully conceived novel, transforming into a masterpiece through 2 years of editor-guided rewrites. Getting feedback requires humility, the willingness to entertain that others might have valuable insights. You're competing not just with contemporary work, but with centuries of great art. As Balzac wrote in 1842, the great problem for artists to solve is how to place themselves where they can be seen. The greatest marketing challenge isn't piracy, it's obscurity. When launching a product, consumer costs include price, time to consume, and effort to discover. Giving away your work overcomes these barriers. Musicians like Pretty Lights built massive audiences by giving away albums while earning through live performances. Paulo Coelho actively pirated his own books in new markets, dramatically increasing legitimate sales. Free content builds audiences monetized later, just as TED's free videos drive $10,000 conference ticket sales. John Fante's Ask the Dust sat forgotten for 50 years until Charles Bukowski discovered it and championed it relentlessly, transforming it into required reading. Champions breathe life into creative work in ways traditional media cannot. Mark Echo built his billion-dollar brand by sending tailored packages to influencers, like a hand-painted Malcolm X sweatshirt to Spike Lee, who became a collaborator. Beyond Champions, build a platform, your creative insurance policy. If you follow only one piece of advice, build an email list. Kevin Hart collected emails at small comedy clubs, putting cards on seats asking, "Kevin Hart needs to know who you are." Years later, he leveraged this database to command higher studio pay. The best marketing is creating more great work. Great works compound each other's value. The Godfather trilogy, Shakespeare's plays, Robert Greene's books became more powerful together. With each new album, a band's previous albums increase in sales by 25%. Today's environment favors artists who invent new career paths. Most creative fields' real money isn't in royalties, but in speaking, consulting, investing, touring, and merchandise. Michael Jackson profited from investing in other artists' catalogs. Bands selling more t-shirts than albums had better margins plus free walking advertisements. What new areas could your expertise be valuable in? Can you cut out middlemen? You control your work, attitude, refinement, positioning, and platform building. What you don't control is luck, and pretending otherwise is dishonest. Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run benefited from accidental events, yet he'd persisted through 2 albums before luck found him. The more you do, the luckier you get. Creating perennial work requires dedication to craft, strategic thinking, and willingness to play the long game. Your work can outlive you. The question is, are you willing to do what it takes?